views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds.
And I can't mimic Mark, so.
Yes, this is Chris Kelstrom. I am mimicking Mark today. I'm filling in for Mark, and it was going to be Mark and Red and myself. Or excuse me, Mark was going to be off and going to be Red and myself, and the emergency came up with Red, so I have Nick Gardner here today with me.
And I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
So Nick's the perfect fill-in host, because today's guest, we're going to have Michael DeQuisto in here. He's running for Reading City Council. And if there's one Reading City Council hawk, that would be Nick right here. So it should be pretty interesting. We'll see what kind of questions Nick has for him. I think he definitely won't be able to skate away free for sure. So we're going to find out if he's a good guy or a bad guy. So
I've got to be pretty careful about that, because I am a fan of Michael DeQuisto. And I certainly don't want to put him on the spot and cost him some votes.
Yeah, everything I've seen about him actually is pretty good. So, and the people that are endorsing him and backing him, they are all good people in my mind. So I think we're going to find out that Michael DeQuisto is a very good guy and a good candidate for Reading City Council. So it ought to be interesting. But like I say, if there's one person here to ask some questions, it'll be Nick. So,
well, it comes down to one question to me. If you're happy with the way things are, vote for the two incumbents. If you're not, we've got three new ones running.
Yes, we do. So you're going to have a choice here. So, again, yeah, if you want to keep status quo, well, then, you know, you got Kristen Schrader and who's the other one?
Francie.
There you go, Francie Sullivan. I forgot. I'm a baseball fan.
You know, when Francie came out and she said that crime is down in Reading in the last 6 months?
Apparently at her house, I guess. Yeah, I know. And she's made comments, and some other City of Reading people made comments. My daughter did a school project here a couple years ago, and they were telling them how, you know, the transients on the river trails and stuff, it's actually, they're good. It's a symbiotic relationship. You know, they're not going to do anything to you because they need you to help them, and they will help you. And it's all good fun, you know, good times. So unbelievable. And even at 17-year-old, my daughter's listening to this woman rolling her eyes, making me promise not to mention her name. But
well, the transients do need us. They need us to clean up after three or four times a year. They just evidently can't pick up their own trash.
Yep, and they need us to donate to their cause, and either willingly or unwillingly, you know, ever. So I guess, yeah, unbelievable. So I guess we just had a fire from the transients the other day, I heard, under the Cypress Street Bridge.
Boy, I'm sure glad the wind wasn't blowing the other day like it is today.
Yeah, well, we had several fires overnight in Cottonwood, actually one on either side of our property on the little ridge we live on. So there was one on Locust Street. I drove past the fire trucks mopping that one up. And then right at our mailboxes on Balls Ferry Road, there was another one. They were mopping up a little fire there, it looked like. So, and it was a windy day. So kudos to the firemen. Thank goodness you kept those down. But sounds like we had several of them overnight. So we had a big meeting on the arsonist that's running around Cottonwood on Friday night. And he was pretty busy overnight on Saturday night. So.
So you suppose when they catch him, they'll give him some counseling and everything will be straightened out?
Well, I don't know. He probably won't, you know, probably won't be held. The jail's full and there's no bail. So I don't know if they'll take his matches away when they book him or not. I tell you what, they could turn him loose to the folks in Cottonwood, and I have a feeling he'd be taken care of.
He might be fish chum at the bottom of the barge hole. Hey, I wanted to touch on that bail thing that I called in earlier about. One of the main reasons I'm against the bail, them canceling the cash bail and us having the opportunity to vote on it, is that it's not a system that's broken. Like Mark said, the court system's broken, and it's going to put 7,000 people out of work here in California. Holly's been a wonderful member of the community. I just don't understand why they'd want to put her out of business. Going on to that, you know, there was another thing that Mark mentioned, that you rape an unconscious person, that is now a misdemeanor in California. And I got to wondering, well, if you knock her out first and take advantage of her, does that make it a misdemeanor?
Well, I think they did reduce the things on a whole bunch of things that have become misdemeanors. So I'm not sure if assault and battery. I know assault and battery on a peace officer is now a misdemeanor. So I guess if it's a woman peace officer, you can knock her out. Obviously, this is all tongue-in-cheek, and we're being very sarcastic. So, no.
Sometimes that's my forte.
You almost have to be sarcastic to continue to live in California with the way things are going. So,
oh, man, you've almost got to be sarcastic to live in the United States. You remember how they picked on the Tea Party and made us look like a bunch of buffoons?
Yes.
You know, and we stood for what? Fiscal responsibility, smaller government, following
the
Constitution. I mean, what is more basic than that? And they just made us to be a bunch of dummies. And look at the progressive liberals now.
Well, the way they're reporting on this, you would have thought we were Antifa. I mean, we were out there flipping over cars and setting things on fire and a bunch of racists. And, well, no, that's what you guys got.
It's ridiculous. And they're not even reporting much of it. Now they've got witches in Brooklyn putting curses on Kavanaugh because he's in there. And these are people that are representing the Democratic Party.
But they had no problem with Juanita Broderick and Jennifer Flowers and, Monica Lewinsky. I mean, there was no problem there whatsoever.
Well, I tell you, I would be ashamed to consider myself a Democrat now.
Well, are we going to get caught up in the blue wave? I hear there's a blue wave coming here in a couple weeks, first week of November. What do you think about the blue wave, Nick?
I liked Ashley's comment. We've got a crimson red wave
coming.
Yeah,
that's what I believe. You know, you're going to hear this here first, folks, because I haven't heard it anywhere else. But here's the deal. So they say after an election, the new president gets in, and there's always a flip. There's always the party in power loses seats in the House. And this is what the Democrats are counting on. They're going to lose all these seats and become Democrat seats in the House, and they're going to control the House, and they're going to impeach Kavanaugh and then impeach Trump. And, heck, they might even get over the Senate, so they might even be able to convict on their impeachments. Now, here's the deal. The reason you have this flip, and this is what I haven't heard anybody else talk about this yet. They just say, in history, you normally have this flip, this party in power loses seats in the House. Well, why is that? The reason that is because the party in power has made all these promises during a presidential campaign and hasn't followed up on a damn one of them. So, in both parties, mind you, and I'm not picking on either one of the parties because as far as I'm concerned, they're both corrupt. But you got George Bush Sr. out there saying, read my lips, no new taxes. And then he gets in power and he creates new taxes. So, the people go to the polls 2 years later and they're pretty mad. They voted for what you said you were going to run on and you didn't do any of that thing. And now they're pissed and they vote for the other party. And again, you know, Clinton, Obama, George Bush Jr., all of them, they've all done the same thing. They make these promises. They get in office and they don't follow through. The difference this time is Trump made a ton of promises and Trump has fallen through on all of them. That's where I don't think the electorate out there is mad. Now, the side that lost is mad. There's no question about it. And, you know, they're showing that they've always been mad. But the side that won, I don't think there's too many people out there. In fact, it's the exact opposite. I have a bunch of friends, several friends that, I have the utmost admire them, you know, have the utmost respect for, that they weren't a never Trumper, but they're about as close as you could get. And I had several of them that were huge Ted Cruz fans. And I myself was a Ted Cruz fan. I'm proud to say I was on the Trump train pretty early. But I have several friends that voted for Trump only because the alternative was so horrible and they couldn't waste their vote. But they were bound and determined that guy was a piece of garbage. I had one person, and you know who you are if you're listening, he said, mark my words, that guy's a liberal. I had several friends that were not excited about Trump, but they voted for him reluctantly. Well, those guys now are as excited about Trump as I am and all the other Trumpians out there. So there is not that animosity towards the party in power because this guy, for the first time since probably Ronald Reagan, has followed through with all the stuff he said he was going to do. So
yes, and another reason, to say it another way, you know, the reason that it's been turned over every election since Ronald Reagan that they've lost the House or the Senate is we haven't had a successful president. Yes. President Trump is a successful president. He hasn't been able to follow through with all of his promises, but that's because he's been just He's fighting the Democratic Party and half the Republican Party. It's phenomenal what he's done with the battle he's against.
It is phenomenal, and he's brought out the true colors of his opposition, which it just cracks me up because, I mean, it shows just how unhinged these people are. And it's now come down to, it's not Republican versus Democrat, because quite frankly, I'm a registered Republican that just hasn't gone down and changed my party affiliation. It's the only reason I'm still a registered Republican. The Republicans, you know, have not made me happy in the last several decades. Now I'm pretty excited, but it's not because Trump's a Republican. It's because I'm an American and Trump's an American. And this next election kind of comes down to, are you an American or are you a communist? That's what it comes down to. Are you an American and you love America, or do you hate America? Because that's your two choices right now. They sure didn't like being called a mob the other day, did they? And there is no better word for them than mob.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Wasn't it shameful the way where they were trying to pry open the doors at the Supreme Court, banging on it,
and what they did to Kavanaugh? And I'll tell you what, in another time, they would have folded their nomination on Kavanaugh like they did Bork. They would have said, okay, sorry, even though some of this isn't true, or all of it isn't true, or we don't believe a word of it, we can no longer withstand this. The media is against us. You know, everybody, every screaming talking head is against us. I'm sorry, we're going to have to pull your nomination. And by God, they stood strong by him. And it kind of came out that it was all a bunch of BS. It was all lies. It was all made up. It was all garbage. And they've done this to Clarence Thomas. They did this to John McCain, or excuse me, Kane. That ran for president, Herman Cain, excuse me. And, I mean, they did this, they tried to do it Donald Trump, and he's like, yeah, whatever, I don't care, you know. And they've done this to every prominent Republican that's going to affect power and take away power for them. They will attack them in this way.
And what's admirable is when they accuse one of Trump's nominees or one of these guys that's working for him, he stands by his guy.
And
he doesn't fold, look for excuses to replace him. No, I'm with him. This is my guy.
And once this thing was all over, it was really great to see some Republicans finally, the you saw some stiffening of some spines in them. They finally got on the thing. There's a Facebook video going around now, and a liberal woman has brought her kids down, and I forget the guy's name. I wish I could find it, but I had never heard of him. You know, so he's probably a representative from a smaller state. And she has her kids there, and she says, why don't you tell my kids how you sold them out? Why don't you tell my kids, you know? And he looked right at the kids and talked to them instead of this crazy woman and said, I know your mom's using you as a tool, but I want you to know if there's ever false accusations brought against you in the future, you will not be prosecuted, or you are safe with false accusations. And it's just like, wow, that would have never happened 8 years ago, 4 years ago, 12 years ago.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. So Ashley's given us a sign we need to go to a break. So I think we'll go off to a break, and hopefully we'll come back here pretty soon and have Michael DeQuisto for you.
Of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems. Sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves, and their slow-moving dreams.
State of Jefferson. Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 960.
All right, Mr. Lincoln, we sure could use a hand.
We've got one. How about Trump getting that pastor out of Turkey?
Yeah, that was pretty amazing, and you know, and the praying in the White House afterwards, that was pretty awesome too. So
I suppose I don't think that would have happened with the past administration. And didn't he get some people out of North Korea?
Trump did, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. No, Obama got Bo Bergdahl.
Yeah, we got rid of what, four or five
we gave
terrorists?
Him four or five, yeah, general terrorists, and we got one deserter. That should probably be court-martialed and, you know, brought up for treason, in my opinion. But
you know, he was over in Ukiah when they had a bust of an illegal grow marijuana.
Yeah.
He was over there while he was off leave.
And then don't forget, we got our Navy seamen back, too, after a shipload of gold bullion and cash went into Iran. We got them back. So, yeah, what a joke. And you know, and Trump talked about that last night or yesterday when with the pastor, and he said we don't pay for political prisoners, we don't pay terrorists, and we don't pay, you know, ransom. All that does encourages more of this stuff. So everybody he's gotten out now, and it started with I can't remember the poor kid's name, but he didn't last long, from North Korea.
Oh yes, I remember Otto.
Yeah, Warnby. But anyways, yeah, when, you know, he got him out, of course, it was too late for that poor family. But he did get him back home. But, I mean, he's gotten several people out now and hasn't paid a dime, hasn't paid nothing. So,
you know, one of the things that's going to disappoint me about his administration is if I don't see some prosecutions.
You know, that's funny you mention that, because there's a thing out there on WikiLeaks right now floating around that October 21st is the deadline, and there's going to be some WikiLeaks stuff coming out on Hillary Clinton that may possibly put her in jail. But you're absolutely right. Now, there is, Mark and Red have talked about in the past, you know, if you go to QAnon, there's a lot of stuff going on here. You bring up that executive order he passed in December 2017, about military tribunals. That question of Judge Kavanaugh by Lindsey Graham, you know, came out of the blue, and it was, you know, do you understand we are still under a declaration of war, and that the crimes during war are different and can be treated different than common law? And Kavanaugh said, yeah. And he said, you know, I mean, so they are setting something up. Believe me, there is something being set up. Again, I read today, we're getting 5,000 sealed indictments a month coming down. Now, normally you do have sealed indictments out there. Normally it's about 1,000 a year. We are getting 5,000 a month. There's up to 55,000 sealed indictments out there right now. I honestly think there's going to be some October surprises before this next election. And then I really believe that when the red wave hits, I think you're going to start seeing some people going to jail. I think this whole thing's going to come down.
Boy, it needs to. I'm hoping that he makes some arrests and there won't be any bail.
Yeah, yeah. So Jim or Lurch, what's his name?
Kerry?
Yeah, there you go. When he goes over to Iran, you know.
Oh, boy, behind the president's back.
Undermines this country. When you're in a declaration of war and you go to that, he didn't have an official position, and he went over there. I'll tell you what, I would be a little worried if I was old John Kerry.
I believe there's something called the Logan Act that makes that illegal.
And again, during times of war, you have a different set of
treason.
Rules. Yeah, absolutely.
You can't charge somebody with treason unless it's a time of war.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, you see a lot of these guys are now kind of ducking their heads. James Comey recently is now new. He's no longer on his book tour. He's no longer going to the talk shows. He is now his statement is talk to my lawyer. So I think there's a whole bunch of them that are getting a little nervous as to what's happening. You know, if us redneck hicks up here know about some sealed indictments and Jeff Sessions possibly unrecusing himself.
And Hillary losing her security clearance and Uma and Cheryl Mills.
How about Rosenstein? Rosenstein's sitting around going, what the heck is going on? Do I quit? Do I wait to get fired? Or do I just go straight to jail? Do not pass go. I don't know what's going on. So, yeah, it's very interesting. The times we live in are unbelievable. In fact, I just posted, you know, this whole thing with Kanye West and then, what's her name, the country music, Taylor Swift. And it's like, you know, a few years ago, I remember my wife was watching an awards show, and Kanye West had kind of somewhat attacked Taylor Swift, took the microphone away from her and said Beyonce should have won this award instead of Taylor Swift. And I thought, boy, what a jerk.
Was that him that did that?
That was him, and that was her that he did it too.
Oh,
and then she
wrote
the song afterwards, you're nothing but mean, and, you know, you're never going to be anything but mean, yada, yada, yada. And now here we are 3 or 4 years later, and Kanye West is in the White House, and Taylor Swift is out supporting Democrats, and it's like, boy, we live in strange times. I never thought 5 years ago you would have told me, hey, you'd be a bigger fan than Kanye West than you will be of Taylor Swift. I would have thought, you have no idea what you're talking about. But, yeah, as of last week, hey, Kanye West is okay in my book, and Taylor Swift, you know, you just ended your career, you moron.
You know, that shows you another thing about Trump. He'll listen to anybody.
Yeah.
He'll listen to them. He doesn't necessarily take their advice or play on what they'll do, but he's willing to sit down and listen
to
them.
And every time he sits down with somebody, those people come out of there with, like, hey, he truly listened to me. He listened to what we had to say. He was very engaging, and he listened and took in what we had to say. You know, Ray Lewis went in there right after he won the election, right after the inauguration, and Ray Lewis and can't remember the other gentleman, but they went into the White House, and they thought, you know, this guy's the biggest racist. He's a big dope. He's a jerk. He's a, you know, hates everybody, yada, yada, yada. And Ray Lewis is, you know, pretty, I mean, Ray Lewis is a great African-American leader. I mean, the guy is great. He was great on the football field. He is just an amazing man. And he went in there, you know, with, like, I'm not sure why he's inviting me in here, but I'll go in there. And, you know, the president did ask me to go. And, of course, a lot of people say, oh, you shouldn't have even went. Well, he went in there when he came out. He was kind of perplexed because it was like, wow, he listened to everything I had to say. He listened to us. He heard us. He took note of what we said. And, you know, and of course, everybody's giving him grief. You should have never went and talked to the man or whatever. But, yeah, it's coming around. I think there's a lot of people now that are seeing, you know, you can't believe a word you hear in the media. You can't believe a word you hear from the deep state or the government. So people are starting to see with their own eyes that he's not too bad of a guy.
And that's the left. It's my way, the highway. I don't even want to hear what you have to say.
Yep. And it's a sad state of affairs when you really cannot believe anything you see on the news. I've had this conversation with a few people, and it's like, I personally do not believe a word my government says. I don't believe a stinking word that comes out of a politician's mouth or a government agency or anything else. And I don't believe a stinking word the media says. I can't believe anything, whether it's the Record Searchlight or KRCR or CNN or MSNBC or the New York Times. I don't believe nothing, and they all report on what the government tells them to report on, and since I don't believe what the government says, I certainly can't believe what the media says. And, you know, it's funny, you start talking to people like that, and, you know, I mentioned, this was a few years ago, about North Korea. I said, you know, I don't know, is the guy a bad guy? I have no idea. Oh, well, he's crazy. Well, based on what? Based on what the government tells you and based on what the media is reporting? You know, yeah, I've seen those reports, and he seems crazy to me, but since I can't believe what they're saying, How can you believe that that's true? And then you know, one other gal I was talking to says, well, but he fired off all those missiles. I said, did you see the missiles being fired? I never saw a missile being fired. I heard they were fired. It was reported to me by my government, so they were fired, and the media reported that. So, once again, what can you believe? I don't believe barely anything at this point.
And on top of that, who cares what Taylor Swift thinks, and who cares what Cher thinks?
Yeah.
Where do these celebrities get off giving us political advice?
You know, I'll tell you what, Michael Jordan, I still have respect for him. He's a great ball player, and he's a liberal Democrat, but you wouldn't know it. And they asked him one time, why don't you ever say anything about politics? He says, because Republicans buy shoes, too. And by golly, that's that's how it should be. So, hey, I think we're going to have to go off to a break, and hopefully our guest is here. So we'll see you on the other side.
It's a big job just getting by with 9 kids and a wife. But I've been working, man, dang near all my life, and I'll keep on working. Long as my two hands are fit to use. I'll drink my beer in a tavern, sing a little bit of these working man blues. Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Three Dog Night is coming to Redding's Historic Cascade Theater October 28th. Don't miss this chance to see Three Dog Night and hear all their iconic hits in the intimate setting of the Cascade. Three Dog Night, October 28th. Get tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toya stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a Redding sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Every day, I might get a little tired on the weekend. After I draw my pay, I'll go back working. Come Monday morning, I'm right back with the crew.
All right, come Monday morning, I'll be right back to work again. That's what you got to do. So if they take half of what you make, you got to keep working all the time. So we have our guest in studio. He just came in. Now, Mike, I'm going to ask you how you say your last name.
I say DeQuisto.
DeQuisto. Okay, because we've been saying DeQuisto and everything else. So DeQuisto.
I've heard it every way that you can imagine.
Okay.
So you're pretty close, and that's fine. I'm used to it.
Just don't call you late for dinner, right?
That's exactly
right. All right. So we have Mike DeQuisto here, and you're running for city council.
I am.
Redding City Council. And we have our Redding City Council expert sitting here next to you, and that would be Nick Gardner. I'm a Cottonwood resident, so I can't vote for the Redding City Council, although I do pay attention to what's going on there.
You know, there are a fair number of people that live in the county but come in to work in the city or buy goods in the city.
Absolutely.
And shop in the city. And it's important to them that they have some say in it. And you know, even though they can't vote, they have says in other ways with supporting you or telling people that they know about you or financial contributions. So it's really a community. It's not just the city. It's the city and the county and the surrounding cities, too.
Yep, it absolutely is. And, you know, sometimes the city of Redding has gotten so bad that I don't know if I want to go into the city very often. Wow. So when you have a Walmart in Anderson, you have a Walmart in Redding, I'll go ahead and go to the Walmart in Anderson the way things have been going lately. So hopefully we can change some of that. Do you have any plans on any of that, or do you have any insight as to what we need to do, because we do have a problem in Reading for sure.
Well, we really do. We have some issues in Reading, yep. and we have a number of issues, and some are pretty serious. One of the biggest issues that I see when I go out, and I spend a lot of time knocking on doors lately and going to the different forums and talking to people, and the issue that seems to me to resonate is, I call it the crime problem. And you hear it said in different ways. A lot of people who want to be, who are uncertain how to say it, I say, what's the biggest issue? And they say, homelessness. And I say, well, what do you mean by homelessness? Do you mean the family that got laid off work and just got a 3-day notice and they're going to have to move or get evicted? Or I said, do you mean the criminals that live in South City Park? And the answer I get 9 times out of 10 is the criminals that live in South City Park. And that's really the heart of the problem. And you need to do something about that.
I thought that problem was cured. They're going to put a fence around South City Park.
Yeah, they, you know, and that is, there's a major distinction there. And homeless oftentimes get lumped into it. And people aren't really talking about the homeless. They're talking about transients. You know, I really think of our transient problem, I think there's a very small minority of that that is a homeless problem. There is some people that are homeless. Most of those people aren't breaking into cars and breaking into houses and you know, panhandling and aggressively panhandling and different things. So I think when most people say homeless, they really mean transient, and that is the problem.
Well, it's interesting. I met with Danelle Ewert, I believe is how you say his name, who's the director of the Shasta County Health and Human Services Department. And I asked him for a flow sheet to show me how the department was set up and the various, you know, programs they have and this and that. And he showed me an 8x11 piece of paper, and it was completely filled with 20, 30, 40 different little boxes of different programs and all kinds of lines drawn between who's in charge of this and that. And it would have taken, I don't know how he understands it. You have to be a full-time employee to understand how it actually works. So I said, well, let me ask you a question. How much money is your budget? And he said, $225 million in round numbers. I said, do you have any programs here that you provide? And they provide programs from children, from A to Z, children to adults, to every kind of thing you can possibly imagine. I said, do you have any programs that are at capacity that need to be expanded? And he said, no, I do not. So what I take from that is there are a multitude of services available for virtually any problem that you might want to have. In fact, I think Shasta Regional just opened a mental health, I don't know if it's a ward is probably not the right word, but they open some capacity to treat people with mental illnesses. And if capacity is not the issue and there are sufficient number of programs, then the question becomes, how do you convince the people who should be using these programs to go use the programs? And that's probably the $64 question. How many want to go use them? How many are able to go use them? And what do you go do to get them to go use them?
Yeah, and there used to be kind of a, you know, years and years ago, it used to be if you were in trouble with the law, you could you had your choice of going to jail or signing up for the military. There's quite a few people.
I remember that.
There was quite a few people that got their military experience that way because it was like, well, I don't want to go to jail and I can go join the Army right here. You know, unfortunately, we don't have that threat anymore of going to jail. I mean, you could use that same scenario with, would you like to go to a rehab program? Would you like to go to a mental facility and get on some medication and get some treatment? Or do you want to go to jail? Well, we don't have that, you know, that stick there anymore of, or we can take you to jail because jail's full. And there's no stick and carrot there anymore. The stick is gone.
Well, the jail is full. And so when you look at the different pieces of the puzzle from the person committing the crime and then getting in the system and what you go and do, it seems to me that the log jam is in the number of jail beds and the number of there's no consequence. And I spoke to Roger Moore, Chief Moore, and he said, this is again in round numbers, last year they had 100,000 calls for service, which is a ton. That's just a lot. He said of that there were approximately 10,000 arrests. And I take that to mean you put the handcuffs on, not just writing a citation. Of the 10,000 arrests, approximately 300 people made up a third of those arrests.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you, I mean, and I'd sort of heard that before, but that's what he said. So I said, well, I can do math. It would seem to me if you had 300 jail beds, that would help a lot. And he said, unbelievably, it would help. So the county is now coming up with essentially 100 jail beds that they're going to have by the end of the year or the first part of next year. So that leaves us in the community with a quantifiable goal of how do we find a place to put 200 people? And what are we going to go do about that?
Now, I will tell you something Anderson's done that, you know, you might want to think about this if you get on the city council. If it's a small deterrent, but any deterrent is better than no deterrent at this point, and that seems to be what we have going quite a bit. Now, in Anderson, they know that when they arrest you for shoplifting or they arrest you for breaking into a car, they're going to book them and they're going to be released immediately. I mean, the criminal will probably make it down to Anderson faster than the cop can get back there. They're aware of that. So what they do is when they arrest you, they take your backpack. Every one of these transients, they all have a backpack. They all have whatever's in their backpack. Now, they don't necessarily search their backpack, but they take their backpack and they impound it. And it goes, you know, because you can't take the backpack to jail. So they impound the backpack. They book them through the process. When they get out, they need to get that backpack back. Well, guess what? That backpack has now been impounded, and there's a storage fee. And so it's going to cost you $40 to get your backpack out of storage. You know, a lot of times transients don't have the $40. So they have learned that if you get arrested in Anderson, you're going to get your stuff taken away from you. It's going to be impounded, and you're going to have to pay to get it back. That's enough deterrent for a lot of them to just go on to Redding because there is no deterrent there. Another thing Anderson has done is they've put up signs for the no panhandling. Now, the deal is, again, if you're a panhandler, you're not worried about consequences because you get arrested, you're immediately returned, so it's no big deal. So what they've done is said any car that stops, if you see a car handing something to somebody on the street, turn in the license plate of the car and they'll get fined. Well, that stopped the panhandling because now the people that are handing the money no longer hand the money over because they can get turned in and get fined. So there's some small things you can do that the city of Redding so far has not had the courage to do. But I talked to another retired cop that I know, and it was funny because he had mentioned the backpack thing to me before I found out the city of Anderson was doing it. Another thing he had mentioned to me, and, you know, may sound cruel or whatever, but it might be the best thing that's ever happened to the dog, is a lot of these transients have the dogs. Well, those dogs aren't licensed. They don't have the rabies shot. They don't have anything. So if they are to be arrested and you seize that dog and take it to the pound until it can get its rabies shot and get its license or whatever, the dog's taken away from them. Now, again, sounds cruel, but at the same time might be the best thing that's ever happened to that dog. If you can find a good family for that dog to go to, might be better than running around eating out a trash can with transient that probably doesn't treat it very well anyways.
Well, with no jail beds, there really aren't very many consequences. And what you're talking about is trying to create some consequence for bad behavior. And that really is an important thing to go do. There's some other thoughts that have been floating around. For instance, at the Shasta County Library, what if you made, and this is, I don't know if it would work or not, what if you made it similar to a TSA checkpoint to get into the library? And all you'd have to say is, you put your backpack through an X-ray screener because you want to make sure there's no guns or weapons or
yep.
things that you shouldn't have in there, and maybe make the person walk through a metal detector. And that would probably help some.
Yep.
Now, people will say, well, it's the library and you shouldn't have to do it. And in the best of all worlds, I agree. You shouldn't have to go
do that. You shouldn't have to do it at the courthouse either, but you do.
But you do, and we don't live in the best of all worlds. And it would be a relatively, relatively cheap thing to implement or to think about and
yeah.
see if the library is interested. I mean, so there's a number of those types of deterrents that you can try to implement. You know, as you know, city council is run by consensus, and you need three people on the council to agree, and then it has to get implemented and figure out how you're going to do it and what you're going to do. So it's not just one person. I can't say, well, if I get on city council, I promise I'll do that,
right?
Because there's going to be four other people on there, and you have to, you know, talk to everybody and listen to everybody and listen to the community's wishes, too. Maybe there's other ideas out there. I mean, the people running are just the people running, and what I've always said is, the city runs the cops and the county runs the jail. Look where it's gotten us so far.
Yeah.
It's not a city problem and it's not a county problem. It's a community problem, and it needs a community solution with everybody to get in and get involved. I mean, we're doing it with the car fire. That brought everybody together and the community acts as one. And it seems to me that the crime problem that we have is at least as serious as the car fire problem, because the car fire will be resolved, in quotes, in 5 or 10 or 15 years. People will move on. They'll rebuild. Insurance will take care of it. But the crime problem, unless the government does something about it, is not going to be resolved in 5 or 10 or 15 years. It's only, if you're lucky, it'll stay the same. or it'll get worse.
Right. I like the way this guy thinks already. Hey, we're going to have to go to a break. We'll be back with Mike DeQuesto.
Perfect.
All right. So we'll see you on the other side.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire.
We humans may not get to hibernate, but we still love to feed that inner bear. Black Bear Diner is serving up your favorite comfort food, plus new items including Fit and Focused, Blackened Salmon, a vegan Beyond Burger, and even avocado toast. But they've not forgotten those of us who want to go full bear. And what could be better than homemade mac and cheese with loaded sides of awesome potatoes and fries with bacon? Feed your inner bear at Black Bear Diner, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are you aware there are at least 7 million people in California who call themselves Christians? And of them, less than 15% will vote this coming election. If we are to survive the continuing moral decay of our California political leaders, every Christian must stand up, be counted, and vote. In order to return to godly moral values, Christians must vote according to the principles of the Bible. Regardless of your political party, please vote for candidates who believe in and live the values taught in the Word of God. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in the wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Mark Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, that estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
Ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet. When hearts like ours
meet. Hey, right. You know, I've got the idea that the best way to control the transient population is to make them so uncomfortable they don't want to be here. And that's what we've been talking about. Didn't you have an idea about moving the booking station someplace? That sounded like a wonderful idea to me.
Well, again, it's outside the box thinking, and I hadn't heard it before. And
that is what we need.
My wife worked at Crystal Creek shortly before it closed for a little while, and it's in the middle of nowhere. Frankly, it's outside of French Gulch, and you go up 5 miles up the road. It's the way to go to Whiskeytown Falls, which actually is really pretty to go look at. So the thought would be, right now, the booking center is at the jail. And that normally would make sense, because if you're going to get booked in the jail, you're close. You don't want to have to be far away. You don't want the officer who picks you up to have to drive a long way. But the problem is, when they get booked and they get caught and released, they go out and they're downtown again, which is where a large part of the problem is. So what if you made a small booking center at the old Crystal Creek Boys campsite? And when a person gets picked up, they are taken out there, they're booked. The person at the booking center, whoever's running it, calls and says, hey, you got any beds at the jail? And the answer probably will be no. And they say, okay, sign and promise to appear, and you're released. And they are approximately 6 miles up the hill and another 25 miles from town. How long do you think it would take for the word to get out that if you get arrested in Reading, that's where you're going to go, and how are you going to get back home?
And as soon as they step off that property, they're on federal land. So that might be a federal jurisdiction issue at that point. And maybe there's something the feds can do for our problem.
And you tell them to watch out for bears.
Well, and poison oak.
Well, there's no more poison oak for now, from what
I hear.
You
know, that is viable. You could make that just for misdemeanor pickups.
You could.
You could take your felonies to the jail and not waste time. And the people you're confident that probably aren't going to be held, that could be their booking station.
I mean, the worst that happens is the idea doesn't work, and it doesn't make it any better. But at least it's something that you're trying, and it might work much better than everybody thinks.
Yeah, well, and that's what we need. We need thinking outside the box. Right now, we've got status quo, learn to live with it. It's not as bad as you think. Crime's actually gone down. I mean, this is what we have on our current city council. It's like, oh, everything's peachy keen, roses and unicorns, and it's not. We have a huge problem. They don't want to address it. They don't want to try to make a change, and they don't want to think out of the box. I mean, I don't know how many times you just continuously can hear, oh, well, the jail's full, AB 109, you know, Prop 47, Prop 57, jail's full, nothing we can do, jail's full. It's like, well, okay, if the jail's full, we got to do something. I mean, there's something. We have an awful lot of buildings downtown that are vacant. You know, can you put some bars on the windows and, you know, put an electronic door on there and, I mean, hold somebody there, whatever you have to do, you know, but nobody wants to think outside the box. Nobody wants to do anything. So I definitely like your thinking, and I like you thinking outside the box, and that's what we need on the Reading City Council.
You know, a lot of the laws that California has as far as putting somebody in a cell makes it cost prohibitive, and that's why we need to break away from California.
We do need to break away from California. And in the meantime, you know, I think we just need to stop being so afraid of getting sued, too. That's why we don't solve some of these problems. Well, we might get sued. Well, California seems to pass a lot of unconstitutional gun laws all the time, crams those down our throats. When they get sued and they're overturned in federal court, like the open carry, like the 10-day waiting period, even after they've gone through years of lawsuits and have lost, they still go, I don't care, we're still going to keep doing it. Well, why can't our Shasta County Sheriff or our Board of Supervisors, maybe it's outside the purview of the Reading City Council, but why couldn't they say, hey, we're going to put the jail on two different shifts. We're going to be night shift and day shift. We're going to double the occupancy over the jail. We're going to get sued by the ACLU, but in the meantime, we've solved the problem. While it's going through the court system, even if we lose, we're going to solve the problem for 2 years. And if we lose, we're right back to where we started from. We're no better, you know, worse off or better off, but again, you know, it's like we want to play by the rules, and in the meantime, the people that have put us in this position don't play by the rules. So,
well, I'm going to stay out of the Jefferson and some of those other issues.
And that's fine.
They're not really city issues, but it is true. And the other way that I look at it, I am a lawyer, and just because you get sued doesn't mean you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You could win. And the city has good, competent lawyers. They hire outside counsel, and they have good lawyers that are on staff, and the county does as well. So if you think about it and you try to plan it properly and you have justification for it, just because you get sued doesn't mean that you're going to go lose.
I agree. And what do we pay a county lawyer to sit there and say, oh, you can't do that, you'll get sued. You can't do that, you'll get sued. Well, why do we have you? I'll tell you what, I'll do the job for half of what he's getting paid. Just sit there every day and say, you can't do anything, you'll get sued.
Especially if you get a 7.5% raise.
Absolutely. Hey, we have Cindy on the line. Cindy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, do you have a question for Michael DeQuesto?
Well, yes, I do. I just had tuned in and listened to the suggestion. I think it was the suggestion that at the library they have it like an airport check where you go through a metal detector.
Yes.
Where does that hold? I'm a licensed CCW holder, and that's one place I don't ever want to be without my weapon. And I'm just wondering, how does anybody else feel about that?
Is there a no weapons on the premises in the library? Is there a law there? I don't know if there is or
no,
not.
I don't know.
Okay. So I would say that, you know, what Michael's attempting to do, and I think it's a great idea, is he's trying to, you know, maybe deter the transients from going in there. So if you have a backpack with needles and scales and whatnot in it, you're not going to want to put that through a metal detector. So I think if there's no law prohibiting you from carrying a firearm, if you were to go to the front and say, by the way, I'm a CCW and here's my card, I'm going to set off your metal detector, but this is why. It's not a way to deter you from going there. It's a way to deter some of the elements that, is the reason you need right. that weapon inside there for going
as long
in there.
As long as it could be that way, that would be okay to me. But if it's something where everybody's going to have to go through this metal detector, and then you have to lock up your weapon in your vehicle, I would probably never go there again.
Well, there's things. Obviously, you'd have to get enough people in favor of it to try it, and you'd have to probably do an experimental program. And there's certainly things to be worked out. But the goal is not to keep out people that have valid CCWs or that want to go to the library. It's to keep out the transients and the criminals that just have no business being there and shouldn't be there. That's the goal of the program.
Okay, well, we'll just
for the proposal.
Happens.
Yeah,
that's fine. It's like, you know, the courthouse. I still totally get that. And there's people in the courthouse that are that could protect you if something goes south, so to speak. But I, you know, the library is one place I would never go there without being protected.
No, and I appreciate you bringing up that point, because that's definitely another side to look at, and that's a great point, Cindy.
It is.
Absolutely.
So, hey, if anybody else has some questions for Mike DeQuesto, 605-4567, go ahead and give us a call.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you, Cindy.
Bye-bye.
So one of the things that has come up in some of the forums and the debates has to do with public comment that you can make in the Board of Supervisors or any public government meeting. And one of the things that you learn when you run for City Council is it's probably 90% listening and 10% talking, and even that, some people say 10% talking is too much, and you should listen more. And you would be surprised what you hear when you actually do listen and the ideas that people have. And lots of people have lots of good ideas. So that's one of the things that I've learned knocking on doors and going to the forums is you listen to what people have to say and then try to come to some reasoned decision after you listen to both sides and you investigate and you do this and that. I think that's important. The public comment. There, a few years ago, there was an issue as to whether it should be at the beginning, and then they put it at the end, and some of the people thought it was disrespectful and blah, blah, blah. And now they've put it back to the beginning, and they limit it to 3 minutes per speaker. What I would actually do is it's probably more convenient to have it at the beginning. I don't have a problem having it at the beginning. And frankly, if somebody couldn't get there at 6 or whenever the meeting started for City Council and they couldn't come till later, I would have it at the end as well. I would have two sessions. I don't. Your point when you're doing the public's business is to listen to the public. That's one of the primary things that you need to go do. And you should listen to them. And you should be able to, while you can't act on what they say, if someone has a question and it's a fair question, even if it's not a fair question, you ought to be able to answer it if you want. Somebody says, why haven't you done this? What can we do? And say, well, speak to Mr. Tippin, who's the manager, or speak to, you know, or here, get a hold of me afterwards, give your number to the clerk. I mean, that's part of the whole point of why you're there, is to help deal with the public, because it can be very frustrating dealing with government. And, you know, who does this and who does that? And everybody says, well, it's a different department, or what's your question? And you get shuffled around, and it's pretty easy to get frustrated.
Yeah, and I think that got forgotten here a couple of years ago with, you know, Brent Weaver had a great plan to solve all these things before he got elected. And, of course, once he got elected, he had no plan anymore, and he didn't want to listen to anybody. So they were a bunch of spoiled children, and he'd be set in the corner instead of bothering him with their thoughts and views or whatever. So I guess Brent Weaver's going to be gone. Again, I'm not a Reading resident, but you know, I for one, not going to miss him, even though I'm not a Reading resident.
I listened on the radio, and Carl Bott asked what his accomplishments more were, and he said he thought bringing civility to the city council meetings was one of them.
So making sure that you don't speak was bringing civility to speech.
Well, you know, it was just two or three people that were really causing the ruckus, getting up there and talking in a disrespectful manner.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. It is a public meeting, and you should be respectful. You could say something that somebody completely disagrees with, but there's nothing wrong with saying it politely.
I agree.
And then the person who disagrees with it can say, thank you very much. I hadn't thought of that, or I appreciate your views. And you go on to the next thing. And the other part, it's just politics. It should be a relatively small part of your life. You should have your family, your religion, your social life, your schooling, whatever, all kinds of things. I mean, if politics is 99% of your life and the rest is 1%, there may be some people that really get into it, but that, you know, it seems to me there ought to be a better balance on it that way, and you shouldn't get so fired up. I mean, I take the Kavanaugh hearings and leave out which side you're on. That was a low point for our country. It's a low point for the Senate. It's a low point for the Supreme Court. It will make it more difficult, no matter who's in power, to get somebody to even apply. Because why would you want to put your family through that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and that's the bad part of what it is. It's just, it degenerates to like a circus or with five-year-olds, and you wonder who the adult in the room is.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, we're coming up to a hard break. Are you going to be able to hang around after the break?
Sure.
All right, fantastic. So we will come back on the other side, and we'll have Mike DeQuesto still here. And so, again, if you want to call in and ask him some questions, it's 605-4567, and feel free to give us a call. See you on the other side.
That's the way I see it, I'm a simple man. Now I'm the kind of man who'd not harm a mouse, but if...
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco & Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco & Brew, open 7 days a week.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Saudi Arabia says it rejects any threats of economic sanctions or political pressure after President Trump made comments to that end on the disappearance of Jamal Khashoggi. Some fear the Saudis have killed him. Meanwhile, Turkey is pushing for access inside the Saudi consulate amid reports that the missing writer might have died there.
Turkey's foreign minister is again calling on Saudi Arabia to allow Turkish investigators to enter the kingdom's consulate in Istanbul in an effort to unravel the mystery surrounding Jamal Khashoggi's disappearance. Saudi Arabia had promised to open its consulate for a search, but 11 days after the Washington Post columnist and government critic vanished, that is yet to happen. The foreign minister's demand follows a newspaper report that Turkish officials have an audio recording of Khashoggi's alleged killing. Saudi Arabia's interior minister has dismissed reports that Khashoggi was killed by Saudi assassins as lies. Ben Thomas, Washington.
As search and rescue personnel comb through the ruins of Mexico Beach, Florida, Senator Marco Rubio says he's most concerned about other areas hit hard by Hurricane Michael.
Rubio tells NBC's Meet the Press that he's worried about the residents of some inland communities north of Mexico Beach in Panama City that suffered extensive damage.
These counties took a devastating hit, and we are talking about poor people. Many of them are older, miles from each other.
Rubio says Mexico City eventually will be rebuilt.
It basically is a total wipeout, and it's hard to imagine it ever being able to recapture the exact identity it once had. It'll be rebuilt. It'll all be rebuilt.
Rubio says the federal government has met all the requests made so far by the state government as Florida works to recover from Hurricane Michael. I'm Mike Hempen.
The White House says President Trump plans to visit Florida and Georgia tomorrow to survey damage caused by the big storm. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Bill Engvall, and I'm here with Mike Stahl from Health Markets, a national organization helping folks find the right Medicare coverage. Mike, the news reports keep saying that the rates might actually be going down.
The cost of many Medicare plans are decreasing this year. So you have to ask yourself, are you getting the best rate? Health Markets offers a free service with access to thousands of Medicare plans, plans that can eliminate your out-of-pocket costs, plans with $0 premium, and even plans that pay you back.
All right, Mike, with the enrollment deadline for Medicare coming soon, what should people keep in mind?
With so many new options, it can be confusing. You can get objective help to find a plan that may cost less and cover more, with lower copays, more choices like dental, vision, and prescription drug coverage, and the freedom to see the doctors you choose. Don't miss out on savings you deserve. Our Health Markets Medicare assistance is free.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, folks, your Medicare is just too important to put off. So call Health Markets today and find out how much you could be saving.
Call 800-716-7780. That's 800-716-7780. 800-716-7780.
Storm Callum is weakening after its gusty winds and strong rains killed two people and caused damage in some parts of Britain.
Officials say one man died Saturday after a landslide in western Wales, while another was swept away by rough seas in Brighton on the southern coast of England. At the height of the storm on Friday and Saturday, winds were over 70 miles per hour. Some rivers overflowed, flooding homes and leading to a cut in power supplies. Wales was the hardest hit region, and officials warned people to stay away from flooded areas. Sarah Shackley, London.
Germany's National Railway says the high-speed line between Frankfurt and Cologne, a major travel artery, is expected to remain closed until the end of this week after a train caught fire on Friday. Authorities say a technical fault caused the blaze on board the high-speed ICE train. It was evacuated and no one was seriously hurt. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A nonprofit organization demanding a recall at Hyundai and Kia.
The nonprofit group Center for Auto Safety wants 2.9 million cars and SUVs in the U.S. called in due to the hundreds of consumer complaints since 2010 that they can catch on fire. The complaints involve the 2011 through 2014 Kia Sorento and Optima models and the Hyundai Sonata and Santa Fe. Also included is the 2010 through 2015 Kia Soul.
Correspondent Ron DeRockstra. Today is Sunday, October the 14th. It's a birthday for some notable people, including former White House counsel John Dean. He is 80 years old today. Fashion designer Ralph Lauren, 79. Singer Justin Haywood of the Moody Blues turned 72. World Golf Hall of Famer Beth Daniels has 62 candles on her cake. Former Yankees manager Joe Girardi is 54. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic.
All right, we are back. Hey, we want to let our listeners know there is a fire going on right now. It's up on Masonic Boulevard and, Masonic and Lake Boulevard. There might be some road closures in there. It's in the Benton area. It's a fast-moving fire, so CAL FIRE is on it, but you can avoid the area if you can. So, again, it's Lake Boulevard. By Masonic and along Benton, so seems like that just burned in the last car fire.
Well, but, it's burned two or three times.
Yeah, well,
it wasn't near the car fire, and it's notorious for people, our brothers and sisters that don't have a home, needing to cook breakfast or something in there.
So it's on fire again. Stay out of the area if you can, and gotta hope the people that didn't get burned on the last one are okay this time too. It's a pretty windy day, so.
So we're here with Mike DiAcquisto, and we're talking about the state of the city. And the bottom line is, if you're happy with the state of the city, go ahead and vote for the two incumbents. But I think we've got somebody here with some new ideas.
Well, let me just, the listeners are pretty savvy in this program, and they're politically savvy. But for those who may not know, and I've heard this comment before, the city council has five people. Every 2 years they have an election. 1 2-year cycle, and the term is 4 years. One time it's three people, one time it's two people. So this time there's three spots that are up for grabs. One of the incumbents, Brent Weaver, is not running. So there is one open seat. There will be one new person on the council for sure. And then there are two incumbents who are running. And so you're allowed to have three votes. You can't vote three for one person. You can only vote for one person, two people, or three people. And what I tell people is, if you have one person that you think, if you rate on a scale of 1 to 10, you rate one person a 9, you really like that person, him or her, and the other people you rate 3 or 4, I think you should only vote for one. Vote for the one person you want to get in. If you have two people that you think are fairly high or relatively close, then vote for two. I wouldn't vote for three just because you can vote for three. But if you have three that you think are pretty close, then you should vote for three. And I know who I'm going to vote for. And I think I know who my wife's going to vote for, so that's at least two, although her vote's secret, she won't tell me. But it's a time that you can really affect some change on the council. If you got three new people in there, that would be a significant change on there.
Yeah, three new people would immediately change the power structure on the city council, immediately. I mean, whether, you know, the other two are still sticking tight together, and I think the two that are left over aren't really as huge of the problem. I think that the two incumbents that are on the ballot this time are a big part of the problem. But again, I'm in Cottonwood, so I'll refer to my expert here.
Well, I'm impressed with Adam. He stood his ground and didn't let that safety tax, the emergency safety tax, like they just discovered it was an emergency.
Yeah, that's the one I was referring to. He seems like he'd be okay. So the two incumbents that are up for re-election right now, big part of the problem that I can see. So,
in fact, I absolutely believe that they encourage homelessness.
Well, I...
He just tossed a hand grenade out there, didn't he?
I think people should vote for the person they think is the most qualified to do the job that they would like to see done. And clearly, not everybody's going to vote for one person. There are people that support Ms. Sullivan. There are people that support Ms. Schrader. There are people that support me. There are people that support Ms. Resner. And there are people that support Mr. Crocker. Correct. So it's going to be – I actually think it's going to be a relatively close race. I don't think there's going to be somebody who's going to run away and get all the votes and be a fast leader. I mean, I'd like to be that person, but I don't necessarily see that. I think that there's still some camps and some groups around that have the people they support, and that's just what it's going
to
be.
I certainly think you've got the potential to be that runaway candidate. You've got some great ideas.
Well, I would hope so. That's the whole point. But we'll see on November 7th.
Yeah,
actually,
well,
the evening of November 6th.
Like Nick pointed out, if you think everything's going peachy keen in Reading, well, then, you know, I guess the incumbents are doing their job. But if you see some problems, and I don't know how you possibly couldn't see problems, and I think it's time for a change. And so far, Mr. DeQuesto here has had some great ideas and has come up with some good things, and he's said all the right things. And if I was in Reading, he'd have my vote. So
I haven't seen anything improve in the last 8 years.
I haven't either. I'm from the outside looking in. Hey, we have Peter on the line. Peter, are you there?
Hey, you guys. Sorry, I miss you, Nick. I tore my Achilles tendon. Mine, it's quieted me down a bit, and I'm finally beginning to feel a little bit vulnerable. And, you know, with six hips and two knees already done. And but anyway, that's why you haven't seen me around, mate. But listen, I was going to call in, but you're talking about being civil. Well, I'm probably one of the most uncivil people before the Board of Supervisors and the city in Reading. And that comes from a lot of experience, a lot of things and places I've been around the world. Not too many people have traveled the world the way I have. If you've been down the Amazon River in your own yacht, then you can talk to me. But I have found that when it's dealing with government, and to quote someone this morning on your program that was talking, he doesn't believe anything from government that they say. And when you're in that situation and you are civil, nothing ever changes. The only thing that ever changes anything is violence. If you go in the history of mankind, we're nothing but a wretched, bloody creatures. We're terrible. We always have been, because there's always liars and cheats out there. And if you're not a liar and a cheat, and you still got a bit of hair on your balls, and people are lying to you, and I've been dealing with liars for 13 years in before the Board of Supervisors, with Minturn and all aboard, and they refuse to accept the truth. We've been backed up by the grand jury on three occasions. We've been backed up by that useless attorney guy around town that tries to make easy money, McNeil or whatever his name is. And even he has told them that everything they're doing is illegal on this water situation here. Ironically, this water where we got out on Elk Trail East and West would not have happened without me and Brenda Haynes and another gentleman. The situation is such that I'm looking down in El Dorado County because they're threatening me with paying, because I got a 2-inch meter that I paid $60,000 with the guy next door. We got two-inch meters. We got to pay $900 a month, every 2 months plus the cost of water, right? And I'm looking down in El Dorado County where more people down there are like me than up here. And so this being civil, to me, nothing ever changes, being civil. I mean, when you're dealing with liars and despots and tyrants, when you're civil, you just get dumped on wherever you go.
Yeah, no, you've got a point there, Peter.
It's cost me many hundreds of thousands of dollars. I pissed some bloody council person off over in Australia, and she waited till I left, and I had 3 stories owned high land there with a sports complex on it on the Gold Coast of Australia, and she rezoned it to open space and car park, you know, to get back at me. Recently here, I had a clash with this stupid bloody woman running the mayor here, whatever her name is. I can't be bothered to even retain it. And I mouthed off at over the marijuana issue. And she allowed someone to talk for ask the attorney a question without getting docked in time. I got up and asked for the same privilege, and I asked the question, and she docked me. So I ripped into her, and that cost me $5,500. They made me go to an architect, which cost me $5,500. To put up $2,600 worth of non-bearing walls in this place I got in town. So, you know, and I'm the guy the Blankenship wrote about, being uncivil.
Well, Peter?
Blankenship, you know, I'm sure he's a nice guy and all that, but, you know, he's sitting on a great retirement pension. He's working for, I'm told, he's getting about $99,000 working for the McConnell Foundation. And, you know, and as regards Dave Keogh, you know, Dave Keogh's he's a good man, but, you know, Dave Keogh's lived off the taxpayer all his life. He's probably never ever sold a glass of lemonade to anybody. He wouldn't have a clue how to balance a bloody budget. And I like Dave. He's a good man, but you got to remember he's a Jesuit. I love you, Dave. And isn't our governor a Jesuit?
No, I'm not sure.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
He's an ex-Jesuit.
He is.
Right down there running the state. So, you know, being civil, when things are uncivil, when you've got honest people running things, you can be civil. When you got people that are only selfish and all that, Brett Weaver was a big disappointment to me. He should be wearing a bloody dress up there on the city council. But, you know, being civil gets you nowhere. When you're around uncivil people, my attitude is when someone hits you, you hit them back twice as hard. Bugger this turn in the other cheek.
Well, Peter, I certainly respect your enthusiasm. There's no question about it. And you've been dealing with a lot of stuff for a long time, and I can certainly understand being uncivil at this point in your life. I think Mr. DeQuesto, saying that he would like people to start out being civil. So I think if he gets on the city council and the city council has a change, I think what we should do is give them the benefit of the doubt and definitely start out civilly with the new people on the city council. Now, if after years and years of things going south and not the way that they should go, then that would be the time for uncivil behavior. But, your passion is definitely deep, and you have been through a lot, and I can understand you being tired of being civil. I think what Mr. DeQuesto would like to see is if there's a change on the city council, let's start out on the right foot. Let's be civil to begin with. Let's get some ideas out there. Let's listen to everybody. Let's talk to things now again.
Well, listen, unlike you guys, I live with the Aboriginals for 3 years out in the Gibson Desert running all the generated power water. I was out there for 3 years. I was out there for about a month when it suddenly occurred to me, these people do not lie. Do you know what it's like to be around people that don't lie? A lot of people may not like me, but no one will ever, ever catch me out on a lie because I don't lie. I'm not smart enough I'm not smart enough to be devious. So I'm a simple man, and I always tell the truth. Now, the fact that I get annoyed when I'm talking to liars, I'm called uncivil.
Hey, Peter,
hey,
I agree with you.
Dude. I love you, by the way.
You present it in a rough sort of way. I wonder what you'd charge me to represent me at the city council this Tuesday night.
Hey, Peter, we're going to have to go off for a break. I really appreciate your phone call. Love hearing your voice. Love hearing you call in. All right. Thank you, Peter. Okay, let's go off to a break. We'll let Mike digest some of that, and we'll come back with his thoughts.
Train bound for nowhere. I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness. The boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, "Son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces, knowing what the cards were,
by the way the hill. KCNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves, with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460, with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Reading, California, 960.
You gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your.
All right, we're back. I had that song played for Jerry's Bullet Train, but anyhow, we want to bring you some more information. This fire is spreading pretty fast. It's going up Miracle Mile, North Market, Lake Boulevard. So, Ashley, do you have there's some evacuations now? Ashley, do you have those evacuations?
Yes. Reading Police Department has issued evacuation orders for Barber Street, Pearl Street, Nancy Court, and neighborhoods north of Benton Drive up to Lake Boulevard and west of Market Street due to a fast-moving fire. So if you're in those areas, please evacuate. RPD has issued evacuation orders for it's being called the Masonic Fire because it started around Masonic Drive.
And if you can stay away from that area, by all means, let's stay away from that area. Let the first responders do their job.
There has been a request to close portions of Market in order to help with those evacuations and help get the fire personnel where they need to go and protect people on the roads.
Yeah.
So if you can, take another route.
Last time there was a huge log jam up there with people trying to get out Lake Boulevard. So please, if you can stay out of the area, stay out of the area. And if you're in the area, please evacuate. Do what you need to do. So,
you know, we're here with Mike DiAcuesto running for city council. Mike, I'd like to ask you, what's your opinion on the transients? Are the city council and the city government tries to tell us that they're 90% local, and I just don't believe that. I'm around town all day, every day, and I see new ones every day. Is there something we could do to discourage them from coming here? You mentioned something about having a couple members of the council talk with a couple members of the County Board of Supervisors. Maybe we could whittle down incentives that brings them to this area. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Sure. Before I say, I want to say I do appreciate what Peter had to say the last segment, and it's important to listen to everybody. If I'm elected on the city council and he comes, I'll be respectful, I'll listen, I'll consider what he has to say, and to the extent I can help him or assist him, I'm happy to try to do that. That's one of your principal jobs. As far as the question of cooperation between the city and the county, that's an important question. And we talked about it a little bit earlier. With the car fire, the city and the county have cooperated, and they're almost singing kumbaya together, and the building departments and the permit departments and getting their lots cleared. And that's a good thing. If they could do that for the other problems that we have, I think it would be a good thing too. And when it comes back to the problems we have with crime and with transients, it's not just a city problem and it's not just a county problem. It's a community problem. So another suggestion or thought that I had would be to have a meeting with two city councilors and two county supervisors. And you wouldn't violate the Brown Act because you would only have two. You don't have a majority. And the four people would sit together in a room and take lunch or do whatever they're going to do. And it would be a meeting with only those four people, without any staff members. And it would essentially be a blackboard or a whiteboard where you would present ideas and say, well, what about this? What about that? What can we go and do? And maybe other people have out-of-the-box ideas that they can come up with. And then you each take a list and you go back to your respective city manager or county administrator and you say, hey, what about this? What can we do to try to create this? There are things called joint powers agreements or joint authority agreements where two governments will get together and create another governmental entity, but they combine to operate one thing. So as a, for instance, when the library was created, there's not a joint powers agreement, but there's a contract between the city and the county, and they signed it together. So there's no reason you couldn't wind up with a contract between the city and the county to help with jail funding, for instance, or to help with some other problem that we have and that we, you know, that exists. And it just, I'm not saying that they don't meet now. I'm sure they do meet. But if they meet as part of a formal commission, then the Brown Act applies and you have to, you know, you're not as free to share ideas or you may be limited to the jurisdiction of the commission. But if you meet together with no holds barred, so to speak, and you come up with suggestions, you might be surprised what you come up with. It certainly can't hurt anything to talk. And when I say city and county, I'm not excluding Shasta Lake. I'm not excluding Anderson. I'm not excluding Cottonwood if they want to have the mayor of Cottonwood come. But any of those cities, because these are all community problems. All the cities along I-5 have these issues. Reading probably has more because we have county services here. And we have the river and we have decent weather. And it's just by the nature of the beast, you're going to get more here in Reading than you're going to get some of those other places. But I think that would be a good thing to do.
I think it would be a great idea. And, you know, you mentioned Anderson, and I just saw my good buddy Baron Browning endorsed you, which is a pretty big endorsement. Baron Browning's a really good guy.
He did. I was very happy that
he
did that.
He's running unopposed this time because, you know, you can't really find anything wrong with Baron Browning, so kudos to him. But, you know, something they do in Anderson, and I was able to go to it a time or two. My schedule's changed. I no longer am able to, but I think it's about once a month they have breakfast with the chief. And I'll tell you what, it is the coolest experience. You know, Nick, you would enjoy the heck out of it, even though you don't live in Anderson.
They have it down at Vittles.
They have it at Vittles Restaurant. They have the back room in there. And, you know, the city council members are there. The fire chief's there. The police chief's there. You know, city manager's there. They have all the staff is in there. And it's open to anybody that wants to go in there. It's an informal setting. There's no speakers in 3 minutes or whatever. I mean, everybody's in there having breakfast and drinking coffee. And they kind of give an update of what's going on. And it's really cool because, you know, there will be people that show up there and they're at this breakfast going, you know, I have this empty lot next to me over here on such and such street. And, I mean, the city manager and the city council members are writing this stuff down. And, you know, by golly, whatever the issue is, it's being taken care of. But it's really great to see them, you know, not put on a big hoopla or, you know, get an auditorium and have speakers and microphones in 3 minutes. It's just sit down with the community and, you know, hear what they have to say and hear problems firsthand, you know, with the people in the room that can take care of the problem. And the way they work together there is just amazing. I mean, between the fire chief and the police chief and the city manager and the council, the way they all come together and work for, you know, the same goal. And so what you're talking about would be great. It would, you know, it'd be awesome, too, if it was some sort of an informal meeting where you could have some people from the community in there saying, hey, here's a problem here. What can you do about it?
I don't mean to exclude members of the community. It's just as a starting point, and then
right.
You can expand from there. There's another issue, and that has to do with I've been an attorney for a long time, and I'm a bankruptcy trustee, and so I administer bankruptcy cases. But what I've learned about that is what they call fiduciary duties, and that's when you handle money that's not yours that you're supposed to distribute and account for. Every tax dollar that we pay in that goes to the city or the county or the state, they are essentially fiduciaries, and they should think that way when they go to spend money or when they go to try to increase their money.
Absolutely.
And you need to have that attitude. I'm not saying that they don't, but sometimes it can get sort of overlooked, and you say, well, are we really doing the best we can with this money, or is there something different we can go and do? And I think that's a very important aspect of it, because one of the major issues that I've noticed is that, and I hear this when I talk to people, is they don't have trust in the government.
No.
And you say, in general terms, if you call 911, nobody cares if it's the sheriff or the RPD
or
CHP or Fish and Game. They just want somebody to come and take care of the problem. And by the same token, when someone is sentenced or needs to be imprisoned, they don't care who runs the imprisonment facility. They just want it to happen,
yep.
And they want it to get done. And that's something that the government can accomplish, but they need to be more cooperative together and work together to go do that. And I think that's an important issue that sometimes people lose sight of.
Yep.
And that's related to the transparency, and I think that's one of the things that people are upset about when they talk about whether you can raise taxes and who wants to do that. And there's 1,000 arguments on both sides as to whether you do or don't. But if you don't have the trust of the citizens who have to vote on it, you don't have any chance to get a tax passed. You just don't.
Yep.
And you can lose trust from a friend in a heartbeat, but to get it back takes a long time.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that if I'm elected, I will work on, is to try to get the trust back to the people that trust the government to the extent that they can.
Yep, and that's a perfect example, because the tax got shot down in Reading, but it did get passed in Anderson because people had faith in their Anderson City Council, and it would be great for the people of Reading to start having faith in their Reading City Council. So looks like we need to go off to another break. Are you able to still hang around?
I can hang around for a little bit longer.
Okay, fantastic. So we'll see you on the other side.
I went down to the Mary Carter paint store. I said, give me one of them Smith & Wesson Magnum 44s. Cause there's a man that the law let loose and justice was not done. This man killed my wife and mine.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
This is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
Forget the way he looked all through the trial. He had his big name lawyer, and he had that smirky smile. Oh, yeah.
I got rights. Love that song. Hank Williams Jr. So, Anyhow, we're back here with Mike DeQuesto. We still have those evacuations up there on Lake Boulevard, so people stay out of that area if you can. And Nick, you got any more questions for Mr. DeQuesto here?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Shocker.
Mike, do you have any inside scoop on the sale of Stillwater?
No, I don't have any inside scoop because it's I've heard rumors, but I don't have any inside scoop.
It's taken care of in closed session, and I think the city does too much in closed session.
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. There are some things that you're allowed to do in closed session, I think as part of the Brown Act or related government codes, and I believe that real property sales, I don't know if you have to do it in closed session or you're just allowed to do it in closed session. But here's how I look at Stillwater. It's a big piece of property. We've had it for a long time. There have been interested parties in the past who, and if they had come in, would have been big companies with big, from what I've been told, with big jobs, and they would have helped the city to accomplish what it really hoped to accomplish to begin with. Oftentimes, when those companies come around, they make you sign non-disclosure agreements, which is a standard practice. They don't want their competitors to know. They don't want other people to know. So some of it, you bind yourself to not disclose who they are. And that's, if that's what they want, normally you would say, that's fine, we're going to go and do it. As a general proposition, I don't think it's a good idea for the city to be in the development business. The city should provide services that the citizens can't provide. Police, fire, infrastructure, roads, trash, garbage pickup, recycling, those kinds of things, traffic, and they should limit itself to that. So I think they ought to try to get rid of Stillwater and be done with it.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. If you had been sitting on the council at the time, would you have voted for the city to put themselves into private industry and trying to get in the middle of that? I mean, there seems to me there's ways that you can try to attract private industry without putting a ton of tax dollars into a boondoggle. But
I can't say for sure because I wasn't on, but it would have to be awfully compelling to go and do that. And it certainly would have to be a very short-term in and out kind of deal, not anything long. But I don't think so. I don't think that's the government's job to
no,
go and do that.
I agree with you there.
It just isn't their job to go and do it. But, you know, there is a proposal that I have talked about, and Stillwater's it's an asset of the city, but it's not productive. And it's costing $500,000 or $600,000 a year for debt service on Stillwater, which, incidentally, when the city bought Stillwater, normally if you go buy a piece of land, you borrow money from the bank, and the bank takes a trust deed against the land. And if you don't pay, they foreclose on the trust deed, and they own the land. The city didn't do it that way. The city bought the land and did not take any deeds of trust against the land. The city borrowed money from a bond or refinanced a bond and used that to purchase the land. So what that means is when the first lot gets sold, you don't go to the lender, like to the bank, and say, release your lien on this lot, because there are no liens. So that makes it really speculative. It's almost like you getting a credit card and using the credit card to buy a piece of land and then making the payments on the credit card, and you sell the land and you don't have to pay the credit card. It's just, it isn't good all the way around. But what can I say?
Well, they chose to go into competition with private entities and it didn't work out.
Well, that part's true. But the other suggestion that I had was to say, what if you put some road base out there? It's supposed to be shovel ready. What if you put some electrical hookups and some sewer hookups, and you did short-term rentals for vehicles on wheels to help house some of the builders that are going to come to town to help rebuild after the car fire, or some of the car fire victims who still may be looking for places to stay. And you'd make it short-term, so if you found a buyer, you could, you know, end those and be out of there. But it's a way to help people that have problems. I think it's also a way for the city to try to regain some trust and to say, look, we're really trying to do something here while we're still trying to sell it. I don't know what it would cost. I don't know if it's feasible, but it's certainly a suggestion that ought to be looked at.
And what would be wrong with going to a company and saying, hey, we will, waive the permit fees, or we'll waive the employee taxes, or we'll waive the city tax. We'll waive fees and taxes to get you in here and start your business for a certain number of years. And then after that, what would be wrong with that?
We'll give you a free lot.
In theory, there's nothing wrong with it, but the practical problem, and I don't know if anybody really thought this through when they bought it, is that because it's city-owned, you have to pay prevailing wage to do any building.
Yeah.
So either the city's in the game or the city's out of the game. And I don't know, but if you gave lots away, but the builder, the person you gave it to, still had to pay prevailing wage, that might not make the project feasible. I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that that particular issue could be resolved if the city didn't own it anymore, because then you wouldn't have the prevailing wage question.
Well, I know they had a buyer that was interested in it, and they were having negotiations, and now you don't hear anything anymore.
I've been told those negotiations are on hold, and the buyer will supposedly be coming back. You'd have to wait and see whether that's true or not. I don't know.
And then we got to decide what we'll do with the money when we get it.
Well, that's a whole separate kettle of fish.
Well, that might be something good to clean up the greenbelts, all the property the city owns.
Well, what I would say is if the city sold, let's say the city sold it and got enough money to pay back the money they borrowed, they should take that money, pay back what they borrowed, and you would then save the servicing fee that you're paying every month on it. And if that's $500,000 or $600,000, that should then be used to help with more jail beds or more community service officers or to help deal with the crime problems. I mean, there could be some benefit to it to get that payment off your back, because right now you're just making that payment and you're not getting anything for it. It's just going down a rat hole. And the city certainly needs money. They need money to help fund the police officers that are going to be laid off or supposedly they won't have money for them by the end of next summer, police and fire. And, you know, cash flow is important for the city.
Well, fortunately, the city didn't lose on the pilot program, and that's not going to cost them, what, $6 million a year to pay back and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, as I read that decision, they said, no, you're perfectly able to take that money out of there, and it doesn't violate whatever the theory that Mr. McNeil had that he brought forward on there. That helps. That would have been a big deal. If the city couldn't take that money, they would have to find $6 million from somewhere else. And the city can't print money. Well, they could, but they couldn't use it. So,
it'd be city funds or city dollars. So
there's a lot of issues on city council that the city has to deal with, and there's a lot of questions. And the other thing with government tends to be reactive, not proactive. And in a lot of respects, I understand that. That's you react to a crime. You react to a fire. You can only be so proactive. But there are certain things that you can look forward and say, this is going to happen. What can we go and do? I mean, for instance, because of the car fire, some properties will be revalued from, say, $300,000 to $50,000 because there's no lot anymore. Well, that means that's $2,500 in property tax revenue for that lot that's not going to get paid. And some portion of that comes to the city. So the city's revenue from property taxes is going to go down from that. Now, there may be an offset if somebody buys a new house and you pay more than that person was paying before and you increase your taxes for that. But those things need to be thought about and see how it's going to affect the city. The other issue is if you have less people here and they move out, you're going to get less sales tax revenue. And with less sales tax revenue, that is a big driver for the city's general fund, and that may affect the city as well. So there's... you're going to have to see a little bit what happens, but there's certainly some issues that need to be considered for the finances of the city, because their budgets assume that the revenues are going to grow 3, 4, 5% each year, and that may be a little difficult with the car fire.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I know when they thought about raising the taxes, it's like, well, did you think that, you know, if you do raise the taxes, even though it's a quarter cent or half a cent or whatever, you know, when it comes time to buy a new truck, is it going to be worth your time to go ahead and drive down to Red Bluff? It's only 15 miles away. If you're going to, it's going to cost you $200 or $300 more to buy a truck. I mean, those things need to be weighed out too. You know, it seems like the current city council's solution to everything is, well, let's just raise taxes. Let's just put a sales tax hike out there. And it's like, well, you know, I can guarantee you Crown Motors isn't too fond of that. And probably Taylor Olds isn't too fond of that idea either. Cause again, it can be a couple hundred dollars on a car. And what's going to stop you from just driving down to Red Bluff? So.
Their hope is that it's small enough that it won't stop you from going to do it, but you don't know. And the real people that it hurts are the people on fixed incomes,
yeah,
who just live on Social Security, let's say, or a VA disability or whatever. But every month you get the same, and it may or may not go up, and all of a sudden your sales tax goes up 1%. That could be a lot. That can really affect you. Some other people, you know, if you're a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant or a rich radio show host, it may not affect you as much, or you live in Cottonwood.
Yeah, there you
but,
go.
but it's certainly an issue to think about, and only time will tell what really needs to be done and what really has to happen. If the voters, if you can't get the trust of the voters back, it's going to be extremely difficult.
And that is the key.
It's going to be extremely difficult to ever get a tax increase.
Yep.
And then you're just going to have to live with the fixed money that you have, or hope that you get incremental increases when the property values go up a little bit, and the sales tax may go up a little bit if you get more people here. But it's certainly it's a hard question. And there's no easy answers. I wish if there were easy answers, I wouldn't be running and we wouldn't have all the questions and the problems would be solved.
Yep. Nick wouldn't be down at the city council meetings demanding to be heard.
Well, just demanding some service. demanding that they fix their problem.
Yeah.
So let me just say one more thing before we go here, because I do have to head out.
Okay.
I do appreciate you having me on here today. I have a website, which is michaeldequisto.com, and DeQuisto is DacQuisto. You can go there. You can reach me there. I have a Facebook page, which is Michael DeQuisto for Reading City Council. You can like. You can share. I have some commercials on, I think some radio commercials and some TV commercials. If you want to sign, get a hold of me. I'll get you signed. But the biggest thing is if you like what I have to say, please vote for me. They mailed out some absentee ballots, I think, last week, and some people have actually turned them all in or are working on turning them in. So, you know, get your ballots in early. Not often, but just early. But if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to have them get a hold of me. And what I tell people is if you're happy with the way the city and the county, but especially the city, if you're happy the way it's been run the last 4 years or the last 8 years or the last 16 years for city and county for one of the incumbents, then you should vote for those incumbents. That's who you should vote for, and you shouldn't vote for anybody new. If you're not happy with how it's been run, you're not happy with what's going on, you have some choices to make.
Have things gotten better in the last 8 years, 12 years, 16 years?
Well, that's kind of an overused phrase, but that's true. That's the way you look at it. Have things gotten better or not? If you think they haven't gotten any better, like somebody says, what do you have to lose?
Time for a change.
Well, they don't even have to get better if they've just been the way they were 16 years ago.
So, Mike, we really appreciate you coming in, and I hope you got to some people out here, and I look forward to hearing your name on the city council. So
I hope so, too. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much. We're going to go to one last break, and we'll be back with me and Nick. So
I'm very happy to meet you, Mike.
Nice meeting you, too.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains.
All right. right. So Nick Gardner and I are back. Michael DeQuesto has left.
What a good interview that was.
I like to hear what he had to say, and the man seems very genuine and, very...
qualified.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully we'll see him on the Reading City Council another month or so. Right after that blue or red wave hits, whatever color it ends up being, we have to think about our local politics, too. So we...
pivotal time in our country.
Spent a lot of time on federal politics and state politics and, county and city. So the county doesn't look like those politics are going to change a whole lot other than Joe Chimenti is going to be running against David Kehoe.
Is that the only race?
Les Baugh won outright, so he's not going to run. Now, for those of my friends in Cottonwood that listened to him down at the community center, and I tried to warn you all, boy, that night, Nick, you should have seen it. He had 100 beds here and 120 beds here and 70 beds here and 90 beds here. From my account, he had about 270 jail beds.
And what's he got now, a sleeping bag?
Then the last I heard now is, we need a tax increase, and so what a crock, I tell you. But anyhow.
You know what? We need term limits for these local offices. I think two terms is plenty.
How about the ability to sue them after they get elected if they don't hold up to their campaign promises? We sue them.
Either that or guillotine them.
Now, Nick, we can't go there. But anyhow, yeah, Mr. DeQuesto seems like a great guy, and I look forward to hopefully having him on the Reading City Council again tomorrow night at the Patriot meeting on South Bonneville Road there. We'll have Aaron Reznor, another gal that's running for city council. So
trust is the big deal, and we've got the chance to make a change and give some people the opportunity to restore the trust in the city government.
Absolutely. And, there's I mentioned that to John Green, who was unsuccessful in his bid against Sheriff Basenko. And I, my personal feelings, I don't think Sheriff Basenko does a horrible job. I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he does a decent job. I was ready to see a change personally. I was going to give John Green my vote. And like I explained to him, hey, I'm willing to give you a chance. And if there's no solutions or nothing changes, 4 years from now, there's another election. And John Green said, that's all I ask of you. That's the only thing I ask. So, That's what I'd like to see. Maybe get a change on the Reading City Council. We're not going to get much of a change on the Board of Supervisors, but we have a chance to get a small change, and Joe Chimenti seems like a really, really good guy.
Oh, I agree with you. I've been very impressed with him.
Yeah, so maybe we get some changes out there, and remember, they don't do what they promise. There's another election 4 years from now. Actually, there's another election 2 years from now to get some of the other ones either back in or back off, whichever one it takes. So.
On a national level, I was reading yesterday, I'm not sure if it was in jest or not, but it said that Maxine Waters said that we need an illegal alien on the Supreme Court.
She did say that. I did see that. Now, there is a lot of things that supposedly she says that I'm not sure can be truthful. Of course, there's enough things she says truthfully that, you can't hardly believe. But I have seen that same thing, that she said the next Supreme Court justice should be an illegal alien.
And then you had Chuck Schumer and Elizabeth Warren. I'm not sure which one said it, but it was both the same message, is every time we start trying to make some changes, the damn Constitution gets in the way.
Yeah, well, and then Eric Holder came out, and Michelle Obama was famous for saying, when they go low, we go high, which I never really saw much of them going high, But Eric Holder came out and said, when they go low, we kick them. So,
well, he was awful good at kicking our country when it was down.
Yeah. So, these leftists at this point are inciting riots. They are,
it's a civil war.
It definitely is. And they don't want to talk about this, Yahoo a couple of years ago at the baseball practice that took an AR-15 and was, asking people beforehand, where are the Republicans? Are those the Republicans out there? And started shooting people and yelling, this is for health care. As he's shooting people, we don't want to talk about him though. We won't mention him. That was just one crazy guy. Yet Sarah Palin, when she was saying that there's districts that need to be targeted for change, they accused her of shooting the assemblywoman down there because she had a piece of paper with a target on it saying that we need to target some of these areas. And it's like the hypocrisy is just so ridiculous out there. Good Lord, so ridiculous.
I don't know where it's going to end.
I don't know.
You know,
well,
this election and the next one in 2020 are just pivotal.
I think this next one is if the blue wave hits, well, okay, you know, they're going to get some of their power back. Things will probably settle down a little bit, but I honestly don't think the blue wave is going to hit. I think it's going to be a red tsunami, and I think when it hits, I mean, you've seen, you know, you ain't seen nothing yet when it comes to crazy. These people are literally crazy, and you know, they're showing their colors, and when they finally lose all parts of power, you know, you're going to have basically Chuck Schumer or Ocasio-Cortez and Maxine Waters. They'll always run a re-election. You'll still have them. You'll have either Dianne Feinstein or Kamala Harris and Becerra, De Leon. One of those, you know, two of those three will be our senators here. So they will still remain some power in their dark blue states. But I have a feeling they are going to have a ton of seats overturned, and when that happens, they've lost the court, they've lost the House, they've lost the Senate, they've lost the presidency, and they're going insane right now. Can you imagine what's going to happen here on November 7th?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's going to be scary times.
Portland will be a good place to stay away.
Well, you know, the Portland mayor is also the Portland police commissioner. Did you know that?
No.
The mayor of Portland is also the police commissioner of Portland, so... Yeah, when they have these riots and stuff up there, demonstrations, Antifa demonstrations, when the Proud Boys or any conservative groups go up there, they're riots. But when Antifa goes in there and flips over cars and breaks buildings, the police commissioner, who's also the mayor, tells them to stand down. And the cops just stand down on the side of the streets and watch this destruction happen. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Bust them in with face masks and elbow pads and knee pads and batons.
Yeah, Portland is a mess, and of course they have a Governor Brown too, so their state's a mess as long with their cities. So, oh boy, I don't know where it's going to end, but like I say, I think there's an October surprise coming. I think there's going to be some arrests made. You know, this whole Trump Russia collusion FISA warrant, you know, all this stuff is now coming to light. Fusion GPS, all the ties there, the Fusion GPS who hired Christopher Steele or whoever it was to get the dossier to base their FISA warrants on, all that stuff's now coming to light, and it's all coming out in the open. And I think in the next week or two, we're going to find out just how corrupt the FBI is, just how corrupt the CIA is, just how corrupt the Hillary campaign and a lot of people in the DNC are, and how all this stuff ties together. And I think there's going to probably be some arrests before this next election. And even the news media is not going to be able to ignore that.
And I certainly got a kick out of Sarah Palin's comment. I can see 2022 from my front door.
Senator Murkowski kind of didn't vote for Kavanaugh. And, you know, she's a Republican from a Republican state in Alaska.
Oh, boy.
I had mentioned that to my cousin the day that it happened. And he says, oh, no, Sarah Palin's officially retired. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm too sure about that. Well, sure enough, within the next day or two, she was coming out. And she's making some pretty strong hints about becoming a senator. And that's what we need. Not because she has an R next to her name, but because she is a true red-blooded American. I don't care if she has an R or an I or an L or whatever next to her name. She loves this country. She loves America. And she's, you know, a supporter of Donald Trump. And I think that's what we need more than we need more Republicans. We need people that love the country and support Donald Trump. That's what we should be looking for.
She hunts, she fishes, she takes care of her responsibilities. What's more red-blooded than that?
And she don't look bad doing it, so that's about the worst thing you can possibly hope for if you're a woman's liver. As an attractive gal that stands there on her own and take care of herself, boy, oh boy.
She put on a little bit of red lipstick and be a pit bull in that election.
Yeah, she talked about Mama Grizzlies up there, so... Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We've only got, 3 weeks left? 4 weeks left?
Oh, it can't come fast enough for me.
Boy, it can't either. I'm actually thinking of taking, I just told my wife, I think I might take the Tuesday and the Wednesday off
for liberal hunting?
Well, either drown my sorrows or celebrate, one or the other. But I have a feeling Tuesday night I'm going to be up pretty late watching this stuff roll in. I mean, I'll tell you what, that was a great night when Trump won. Good Lord, that was so much fun. And, man.
You know, I went to bed, and I couldn't believe it when I woke up. My wife told me Trump won. I, you know, when Barack won the second election, I felt like somebody kicked me in the gut, and I thought I was going to have that same feeling.
Well, I stayed up until probably 11 o'clock at night, and they would not, I mean, they would not call it for him. They did everything they could not to call that election, and I tell you, I finally, I think, posted on Facebook, said, hey, if the media won't call it, I'll call it. Donald Trump is now our 45th president.
And, you know, I go on the Internet, and I watch that night, the news clips, and it's entertaining.
It certainly is. So, Ashley, how much time we got left here?
7 seconds.
20 seconds.
20 seconds. All right. Well, speaking of entertaining, hopefully we entertained a couple of you out there. And, again, remember, there's a fire up on Lake Boulevard.
Market Street is closed to Benton.
Okay, so stay away from the area. And if you live in the area and you're in an area, you might follow the evacuation orders. Let's get out. So.
And I enjoyed myself. Thanks for having me.
Nick, thanks for coming in. And, again, thank you, Ashley, for everything you do. And who knows, we might see you next week. All right.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.